love running, or maybe you're thinking about starting to run. Whether it's for exercise, recreation, or maybe you're just getting ready for your first 5 or 10K, join Sean, Jason, and Steven, three average guys who talk about the sport they love here on the Average Runner Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and thanks again for joining us here on the Average Runner Podcast. My name is Sean.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Steven.
And I think Jason will attest to this, that here in Buffalo, it is finally really winter here. It is bitter cold. We've got snow. I think we have a bunch of snow coming again tonight. But then we're going back to the 40s this weekend. So definitely wintertime, definitely cold. How about where you're at, Steven, out there in the Ozarks?
Well, it's typical Ozark weather here. Yesterday, it was in the teens, and they're calling for 70 degrees this coming Friday.
Oh, that's awesome.
But then it might be 20 again by Tuesday, so
solid. Yeah, but you get that nice weekend in.
Yes, that would be nice. In fact, I think I'm going to take another Friday off work and find some place special to run.
Awesome, dude. That sounds great. Well, like last time, it's been a little while since we recorded. Like I said before, we're going to try to do at least once a month, and maybe probably as things start to stay around the 70 degree temperatures and we start running more, maybe getting some more races, and we'll do some more shows. But like last time, let's go around and just kind of see if anybody's got anything new in their running life or anything like that. Jay, why don't we start with you?
Without getting too much into what I've been doing, the only new thing is I officially started my marathon training, but we'll get into what I'm doing later in the show, I suppose.
All right.
That's pretty much it.
And how about you, Steven?
Well, I've had a few things happen since the last recording. One, I was interviewed on the Conscious Runner podcast. So if you want to hear me babbling on, that's episode 60. Lisa Hamilton is her name. It's a pretty good podcast. She's got a really good book. So check it out.
Yeah, I listened to that. It was a great interview, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes for sure.
Okay, well, that'll work. As far as any like new gear, I did get a couple of deliveries from my favorite China site. I bought a neck gaiter and a set of like ski goggles for when it's really windy.
Yeah, you had a picture on Facebook.
Yeah, when I was ninja running.
Yeah.
But the neck gaiter, I don't know how I ever lived without one. So I've ordered about four more because they're $1 a piece. And just love the things because you can throw them over your face if you want. You can wrap them over your head. You can do whatever you want or just pull it down. It doesn't bother you. The goggles, they were $1 a piece as well. And surprisingly, they're nice. They don't fog too bad, a little bit, but not too bad. And they work real well.
Dude, so one of these days when you're running with all your gear on, there's going to be a van that pulls up in front of you and just pulls you in and then takes off.
I was looking a little stealthy, wasn't I?
Have you ever said what the website is that you use? I mean, in case anyone else wants to grab some of this cheap gear.
It's a website called wish.com. And it's all direct from China. Sometimes it can take up to a month for the stuff to come in, but
like your camera, the last camera you got was
took a while. Now I'll give everyone a warning. Some of it is junk, like that camera that came in, but like the neck gaiter and the goggles, and I had a couple of the little doodads. I had another face mask I bought, but and they were a lot better than what I was expecting, so I was pleasantly surprised.
Right, and the neck gaiter also, people know it as a buff
or a wrap.
Right, I think everyone refers to them just like you say. Oh, give me a Kleenex. You know, Kleenex is a brand of tissue.
Exactly,
but everyone calls tissues a Kleenex. So, buff is the brand, but I think most people, if you say, "Oh, I got a buff," a lot of people would know what that is more so than like a neck gaiter or something like
right,
that. But it's
right.
same idea. So, well, cool.
Yep, that's pretty good. What about you, Mr. Sean?
I've got a couple things. One is, you know, the three of us use Strava. We've talked about Strava all the time. We love the app. But before I know Jason and I, we had started the first couple of years with Runkeeper. And then when I made the jump to Strava, I wanted all of my previous workouts to be in one place. I didn't want to have to go to another application and look. And, you know, sometimes I like to go and see what I was running a certain race at, you know, a few years ago or just whatever, kind of just look at my progression that way. And so I wanted to know, is there a way I can import all the old workouts into the new application? Did some searching, and I did this last year around this time, maybe early summer, but it's a website. I believe it's called Tapirik, Tapiriik. I'll have a link for that as well in the show notes. But basically you go there and you have to give it permission, but it does all the work for you. So you would, what I did, I just said, okay, you have, here's the credentials to access my Runkeeper. Here's the credentials to access my Strava. Now go to work. And it just imported all of my previous workouts for the previous year and a half, 2 years, and put it all into Strava. So now I don't have to mess around with Runkeeper. So because I've tried all different running applications over the past couple of years, and I mean, I'm finally on Strava, which I really, really like. I don't see myself going to a different application, but you know, like I said, it's a nice way to have someone just do it for you instead of manually adding 2 years worth of workouts.
Yeah, I use it because you told me about it, because I still am, but I start with Endomondo and wanted to switch over. So I remember you telling me about it, and it was, I'd say it was about 95% accurate. There were a couple things I had to go in and manually edit back in, but for the most part, it brought everything in. So definitely a good recommendation.
Yeah. Did you use it, Jason, or did you just say, who cares?
No, I did end up using it after you had said it last time, and I was pretty happy with the results because now I can, you know, look at one app and see everything. But you know, I do, maybe other people do this as well, I still flip between all of the apps because some of them give you different information, and I find that actually some of them even give me different times that are closer to my splits that I see on my watch as I'm running. So even Strava sometimes, I feel anyways, is not giving me my correct splits.
Well, it depends how it calculates them too, though. I've noticed some apps, like if you know, like I have a Garmin watch, and if I pause it, you know, if I have to stop to take a whiz or something, and I stop it and then start it again, Endomondo will keep that pause time into my splits in my run.
Okay.
Where Strava will remove the pause time and just calculate actual moving time.
Right.
Yeah, I mean they're all kind of,
they have their own algorithms and
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the other thing too is, like you said, we all have watches anyways. We're not using these applications the way we used to use them.
Right.
Previously, where you'd have your phone on your armband, you know, and you have to hit start. We have watches. So, and Jason and I, we started with the TomToms. I've moved to Garmin, so I'm using Garmin Connect. Jason has the TomTom app, and not to get into which watch I think is better or whatever. But I will say that I think the TomTom app I like because I had tried so many of the other, you know, I had Runkeeper, Endomondo, MapMyFitness, Nike, all these other ones where, and Strava, that the TomTom running app was very easy to set up, that every time I finished a run with the TomTom, it shot the information to all those applications. So they're always up to date. And you could do it with the Garmin Connect as well, but I only did it with Strava now.
Right.
So it's not that we can really say the accuracy of these applications anymore to use them, because all these applications are really just interpreting the information that our watches are sending them anyways.
Right. Yeah.
So, but you know, we can get into that at another, another episode at some point, maybe talk about some of the other applications, which I know we've mentioned doing that, but because we do use the watches really,
right.
We're just kind of using the applications to kind of read the information, and Strava is very social.
That's what I was going to say. It's a social app. That's
yeah. And as a matter of fact, I want to talk a little bit about it at the end, about the club, but that, yeah, Tapirik, it's really cool. If you want to import some information into a new, a new running application or something like that. And then the only other new thing I have is Jason and I used to rave about the salted caramel gels from the Goo brand. You know, that was really the only one I think we both kind of found palatable. And
that was excellent.
Yeah, and that's what I thought until last year I started going with I kept using those gels, but then I started getting the Honey Stinger waffles that I would take on like a long run, or even if I was driving to a long run to park, I would eat one on the way just for something, you know, real kind of. Mm-hmm. Not that it's real food, but you're chewing it, and
right.
So it was kind of nice on a long run, you know, stop and eat one or whatever. And then I started trying the Honey Stinger gels, and man, they are really good. They really are. Jason and I went out for a run a few weeks ago, and he didn't have anything. I had two gels on me, had a Honey Stinger and had a salted caramel. Gave him the Honey Stinger. So he could try it, and I ate this old salted caramel that I used to love, and I was like, oh man, this is kind of hard to get down now, man. It's like I'm so used to these Honey Stingers. But what did you think of it, Jason?
You know, the consistency of it was very good. I think you gave me pomegranate.
Yeah,
I am not a fan of that flavor. But
all right.
But as the consistency of a gel, I thought it was much smoother than. You know, the Goo brand, you know, nothing against the Goo brand, but a different, you know, different texture. So,
yeah. So I have two cases
of gel. Of pomegranate.
So I'm pretty, no, I have one pomegranate and one orange. So,
now that's my favorite is their chews. What do they call them? Orange blossom. The chews are like gummy. I don't know if you tried those. Boy, those things look like candy. Oh, they're good.
But they're hard to eat when it's about 30.
Yeah, and you can't carry many of them. That's the problem, you know. If but definitely good.
So why don't we let's go around and just get in. I mean, we're all training for our next marathon, Stephen, for your 50. We'll kind of get into how that training is going. Stephen, why don't you start us off with that?
Okay, well, as you know, as I've said before, I'm training for my first 50 miler, and I was told last week I'm getting grumpy. And upon reflection, I believe I am getting grumpy, so I've kind of cut out some extra little projects I have and stuff so I can sleep a little more and hopefully get ungrumpified, because I'm definitely running more mileage than I ever have before consistently. I mean, I've hit 50 miles a week once or twice before, but now I'm breaking it every single week, and you know, raising two kids, full time job. You know,
it's a lot. That's definitely
the ladies' man that I am. You know,
that's true. Every time I talk to you, you've got some new girl.
I know. It's taking its toll, but it's going to be worth it. Some of the exciting training things that happened to me last few weeks is. I got to do a 16-mile technical trail run in a pair of road racing flats because of a stick of butter.
Interesting.
Yeah. So how does a stick of butter play into the fact that you had to wear the wrong pair of shoe?
Well, I was meeting my friend Brandon out at a conservation area to do somewhere between 14, 18 miles of technical trails. So I was good and packed everything the night before. I had two bags. My one bag had, you know, change of clothes and body glide and the normal accoutrements that you take with you. And my other bag had my camera and my trail shoes. So I was getting ready to leave, started the car, loaded the first bag up, came back in, and my little white dog had gotten a hold of an entire stick of butter and ate the whole thing down.
Wow.
So
paper and all?
No, it was already out of the paper. It was like in a butter dish. Okay. My son forgot to put it up. So instantly I'm fearing the apocalypse that might come out of either end of the dog from eating an entire stick of butter. So, I grabbed his leash. I'm mad, of course. And I'm just going to walk him till something happens. fortunately, dog was fine. Nothing, too gruesome happened. got him home, but I'm running really, really late. So I put the dog back in the house, jump in the car, and I drive the 40 minutes out to this conservation area. And I go to change, and I realize I forgot my camera and my trail shoes.
Ouch.
So my friend Brandon's like, well, we can just run roads. And I'm like, no, man, we came to do trails. We're doing trails. I don't care. So off we went. And probably for the first 5 or 6 miles, I'm like, this is awesome. You know, I mean, they were technical, but they weren't wet or muddy. They were dry.
Right.
But I'm like, this is awesome, man. Cause you know, road racing flats are light. You got a lot of feeling, and I was getting enough traction. The traction wasn't great, but I was getting enough. So I'm like, this is awesome. And I'm flying around this place, hitting all the sharp rocks and everything. And, yeah, after 5 or 6 miles, I'm starting to go, man, my feet are killing me now. So we did finish it up, and I got home, and my feet have never hurt that bad before. So well, fortunately, the next day I was okay. But yeah, it was an experience, to say the least.
And your dog was okay the next day?
Yeah, he's fine, old guy. But one thing I wanted to add, this conservation area where we ran at, I've not religiously, but I've been trying to every Saturday run someplace new, a different trail or something. So what I've found the best thing to do is I just get on Google Earth and get into my area, and I just look for green patches, you know, or even just use Google Maps as actually right. Good too. And I just look for green patches, and then I can zoom in, and it will tell you if it's a park or a conservation area. You know, it won't really show trails unless they're official trails, but if, you know, if something says it's a conservation area, there's paths, you know, nine right. times out of 10. So yeah, I just, you know, I keep it within about an hour, hour and a half from my house. And, I'll call my buddy. I'm like, dude, we're running here Saturday. And he's just, okay. So, definitely it's a useful tool, you know, it's free. So
that's a pretty good idea.
That's how you found this. That's how you found this one.
Yeah. That's how, and you know, it was honest to God, it was less than 4 miles from my friend Brandon's house. And I was like, you've never run here? And this is the guy that got me into running. I'm like, you never run here? He goes, no, I forgot this place was even here. I'd heard of it once, but didn't even know it was there. So, yeah, and it was great. I mean, it's a great place to run. So,
that's cool. Well, you also had that other place you hit up, that Monk's.
Oh, yeah, place, yeah, right? That's right. This is one of those places, you know, I've lived here, I'm coming up on 9 years. And I'd always heard there's this monastery south of us. They're called Trappist monks. But I've always heard they had this monastery, and they have like, I think 4,000 acres, 3,500, 4,000 acres. I'd never been there. So I got on Google Earth, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, they've got land all over the place. I talked to some people, and they're like, yeah, they don't care if you go out there, just don't litter and be kind to anyone you meet. So I took a day off work. It was one of these Fridays. It was going to be almost 70. So I had some vacation time to burn. So I took it off and just drove down there. And there are just trails everywhere. And it's constantly changing. I mean, from, you know, dense forest to pine forest to sandy to, and everything in between. And it just, I mean, I eventually just stopped because I really wasn't supposed to be running that day. It was a rest day. But, yeah, I got on this one trail, and I mean, it looked like it went on forever. And I wasn't out of water, but I only took one bottle with me, because I wasn't planning on running far. And I was like, I need to stop because I can get lost. I mean, there was nobody out there, so I better just stop. But yeah, I'll definitely go back there to run.
When you did go there, did you have to, or did you stop and, just check in, you know what I mean, to let them know that you'd be there.
Well, that was, sure it was that, okay, that was my plan. That was my plan to go down there. But the monastery was closed that day. I mean, I don't want to say it's open to the public, but you can go there. They do have a gift shop and stuff. And most of the trails, they're fine. You can just go anytime. But there were a few that were like no ATVs or motorcycles. And then you get to a point and say, you know, please get a permit to go beyond this point. But the whole thing was closed. They had something going on. I mean, you couldn't talk to anybody. So I was like, well, you know, all right, I'm going to run it. And if they catch me, I guess they, you know, turn the other cheek. But just gorgeous voice, just absolutely gorgeous.
It sounds like a couple interesting runs you had.
Yeah, they've been fun. Fact, and then my other interesting one was just yesterday on Sunday on the 14th. We had ice storm come in.
Always fun.
And it was, I will run on a little bit of ice using my sheet metal screws, but it was solid ice everywhere. So it's just, it'd be stupid to try to run. So I still need to run. I don't have a treadmill. So I came over to my work. I work in a factory. And anyways, ended up running my fastest half marathon ever inside of a shop and wasn't even trying to run a half marathon or make a personal PR, but just after running so many hills and you get on nice and flat, and by the time I looked down, I was like, oh, I just ran faster than I ever have in my life on a half marathon. So,
oh, that's pretty cool.
It's been interesting. But that's about it. Like I said, I got, tomorrow I'm doing some hard hill work and my mileage is going to go up. It's going to top out, I think, 65, 66 miles a week for a couple of weeks and then start tapering back down. So probably at our next recording, I'm going to be moody.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, good luck with it, man. Keep up the good work.
Oh, I appreciate it.
That's awesome. I love seeing your runs post to Strava.
You know what? It's teaching me. I have a desire to do a 100-miler. But this is showing me I'm not even going to think about it till my youngest son has graduated, because it would just require too much.
Well, good, man. Good training. And it's funny you were talking about, and then we'll move on to Jason, how his training's been going. But Jay, you remember when we ran our trails last year in Allegheny? Yes. We did not have trail shoes either.
No.
I was wearing a pair of Asics. I think you had Asics on too.
Yeah, I had my Asics on.
And
I thought they were fine.
What's that?
I thought they were fine, but I've never ran in trail shoes, so I don't know.
You know,
know
they
the
usually
difference.
Are, though.
Well, mine, I know my Asics I had were pretty much at the end of their life to begin with, anyways. I mean, there wasn't much of any sole traction. And so I just remember having the best time of my life, but I also remember going down some like steep single track and having to grab like little trees in order to stop because I was just sliding all over. And I just remember going, yeah, if I'm going to be doing this to race, I need to get some shoes. So, and I don't have the best shoes now, but they're pretty decent Saucony trail shoes. I mean, yeah. They got some good grip, but,
and it depends on the type of trail you're running. I mean, if it's just hard packed dirt, you know, road
yeah.
shoes are fine, you know.
It's the technical stuff, which what we were running too, I would say was pretty technical.
I would say
at
it
times.
Was very technical, yes.
Yeah, so it would have helped.
That's when you want that rock plate.
yeah, exactly. You won't feel anything. But so Jay, you're like you said last episode, signed up for the Buffalo Marathon. How and when did you start your training?
Well, I had my training officially started on the 7th.
All right.
I was running before that trying to ramp up to training, so it wasn't like a shock to my system on the 7th to just start training. But officially, my plan started on the 7th, which was a long run. And, I wrote everything down on a calendar, so I have like a big spreadsheet of what I need to do and what I need to run that day. And then next to it, after I run, I write what I actually ran, just to keep track of if I'm ahead of the curve or my goal is not to run less, obviously. So this week my long run was supposed to be a 4-miler, and I'm like, well, I'm above that now. So I went out and I did like a 6.5. So, mm-hmm. I wrote that down just so I can keep track of what I've done when the time comes, and I can look back at what I need to improve for next time, And then, my off days when I don't run, I've started doing some weight training just to cross train. And eventually I'm going to work in, I have a spin bike, so I'm going to work that into it. And then, I've also been switching into the elliptical on like a light, instead of doing a 3-mile run, maybe I'll just stay home and do the elliptical for the amount of time it would take me to do a 3-mile run just to get a different type of motion, but still be on my feet for that same amount of time,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, plus, and this week has not been favorable to be outside.
No,
so
that's the kind thing. I started on the 7th, and my goal was to make my first week correct, and I already had to reschedule runs and switch days up because we had some storms come in, as you know, and the conditions were crazy. I mean, it was negative 12, negative 20 the other day.
Yeah, I think I only got out once last week.
So it's, you know, it threw a couple of wrenches into the program, but like I said, I'm moving my run days around, and I think my program is flexible enough to do that. I just have to be conscious to plan it ahead and not be caught off guard. So it's working.
Well, yeah, and so, I mean, you're in the first week.
Yeah.
So then, you know, hopefully the weather will start turning for the better when you start ramping up more of your, you know, your longer runs, your more of your base mileage. That you'll be able to get out. And I mean, we really have been, we've talked about this. I mean, just so lucky with the winter here. I mean, I didn't start running till the 4th of January because of surgery, and I've been outside other than this past week, probably 80% of my runs, 85% of my runs have all been outside, and nothing has been anything that was like super uncomfortable. So hopefully, you know, for both of us, the weather starts playing more in our favor, you know, again.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely something we need.
Yeah, you start looking at negative 20. That's getting a little too cold almost.
I mean, yeah, the other night I went out, I think it was maybe 9 or 10 out, and the, you know, the wind chill was bringing it down to probably closer to zero, but I needed to run, so I did it, and it, you know, it surprisingly was fine.
Yeah, but you know, you're going to appreciate when you can get out when it's nasty and force yourself to get through it, you'll notice the benefits when the weather turns nice and you're racing though too.
Right, right. Yeah. And then the other thing I've been doing is concentrating on my stretching and my foam rolling. Cause you know, as you've all known in the past, I've had some knee issues, which, you know, as everyone knows, they're typically not related to your knees. That's just where they manifest.
Right.
The issue manifests. So, what I think my huge problem is my calves are just jacked up and they're pulling, you know, it's pulling on my knees, basically. I've stretched the hell out of them the last 2 weeks, like more than I've ever stretched them. And today was the first run that I was able to run and not feel a single thing in my knees, which has been huge. And you know, I'm sure it's a combination of the stretching and the zero drop shoes, I would say, but today at my run, I can't even believe it. Pretty excited about that.
No, that's awesome, man. I mean, especially going into something in May where you're going to be putting a lot of miles in on them. That's definitely, I would think, kind of a momentum booster for you, knowing that maybe things are, you know, working themselves out by what you're doing and everything. And I'm glad that the ultras are working out for you, because that's one thing that, definitely a side effect is, you know, the tight calves and stuff if you don't really ease into them.
Right.
And especially even if you've taken 7 weeks off for surgery, you got to ease back into them. Yeah. Because I walked around with, like, you know how Popeye had those, you know, his arms were huge. Like, that's how I felt. My calves felt like they were going to explode.
So in other words, don't use the Sean method.
Yeah. Don't go, well, I ran at them for 4 months and they were fine. I know I haven't ran in 7 weeks. I'm going to go do 14 miles.
So, Jason, if I can ask a question, what is your marathon plan? What does it top out at, like a 20-mile long run or 18, somewhere around there?
20 is the 20? Is the top out run. And I, you know what, I don't have the plan in front of me. I can't remember at what point does it get me to that. The marathon's the end of May, and I think, I want to say the 20 either happens that first week in May or the last week.
Well, the first weekend in May is Grand Isle Half Marathon, I believe.
Yeah,
so you may be running the half marathon and then some. You just keep going like Forrest Gump.
I'll just run there from my house and just meet you at the start line. Yeah.
They'll put their medal on you and you'll just start running around the parking lot.
I've heard of people doing that, that have a long run, but then sign up for a half and they'll actually run to the race and then do the half.
I'm not that dedicated.
That's just silly.
But yeah, the plan I'm working with has a 20 top out, and I was looking at one that had you run 3 20s in the time frame in the 16 week period. I'm like, yeah.
That couldn't have been a beginner's plan though, was it?
No, it was not. And I said, for first marathon, let's just take it easy here.
I would stick to one.
Yeah, because I know my first beginner's plan that my coach had me on, it was 120, and then when I was training for the next one, I used Endomondo's plans, but yeah, it had me doing like 3 20-milers.
I mean, it sounds good in theory, but I don't think I need to do that at this point.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's known that I'm not a true plan follower, but I would say 3 is a little much
for the first one.
And with, we still have 2.5, I'd say, another 2 months.
We have
solid.
100 days.
All right. We got to get your taper in too. So you're not going to be doing a 20 miler. You know,
I'm going to do the
20
miler the Saturday before the marathon.
That would be the day before, because it's on a Sunday. No, it'll all work out.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Have it all locked into what you want to do and everything. So,
oh, you know what? Another, I want to get this out there. Another huge motivational shift for me is I've been playing with the time of day that I go running. You know, before work runner, because that's all I could do to run is just get up, go, and then it's out of the way. Well, I don't know if it's winter or if it's just because I've been running so long now, and I don't know what it is, but I can't seem to get up and run. I don't want to do it. So
you have the lack of motivation for it.
I guess so. So yeah. What I've been doing is now, you know, if I don't happen to get up and run first thing, I don't let it get me down that I missed a run. I think, well, I have the whole day, you know, obviously after work, but I can still get a run in at night and then I'm still on schedule. And so that's what I've been doing. If I don't kill myself, if I don't run in the morning, I just make sure I get it in at night, which is what I did tonight. I ran tonight. So,
right.
You know, it seems to be working for me, because I know that I can still get it in if I didn't get it in, and I'm not beating myself up for missing it in the morning like I've done in the past. And as you know, if you beat yourself up for missing it, that pretty much kills your motivation even more.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you have the plan written out the way you wanted, not, you know, specific to the distance or time on your feet, not when you have to get it done.
Right.
You know, Jason knows in his head he has to get it done. So if I don't get up and go before work, well, that means after work, I got to make time to do it. So,
yeah, that's some discipline there. Well, if I don't get up and get mine, it's just not happening that day.
Yeah. Well, and we were just talking before the show, you also have other motivations that get you out there, because it's, you know, with the weather, it has been kind of tough. And today it was kind of raining out, wasn't it? I mean, what helped you get out there tonight?
The fact that I knew I had to do it. Because today was, I couldn't do my long run over the weekend because of weather. So today I had to make up my long run. If anything, I will make up the long run and forego a short run. You know what I mean? I think the long runs are more important because, you know, that's going to help you with your longevity and your stamina and... So I made it a point to get out today to do my long run.
Yeah, I would just say my opinion on it would be I wouldn't forego too many shorter. You know what
oh,
I mean?
No, no, no,
you
no.
Still want to get that base mileage.
I'm definitely not skipping runs.
Ones.
I'm just saying, you know, I made up my run for the weekend today.
Yeah. Well, what I was really getting at was the fact that your wife kind of made you get out there tonight, right?
Yes, that too. I I was hemming and hawing about going out because I looked outside and you know it's dark and it's kind of sleeting out right now, like just kind of drizzle. Mm-mm. And I said, no, I don't want to go. She's like, get your ass outside. I said, okay. So I went up and suited up and came down and left. So, which was nice. It was that was the extra kick I needed, you know. And of course, once you get maybe 2 miles in, you're loving it, and you're oh, like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm out here, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It takes me usually about a mile or so, mile and a half on those days where I'm like, I'm not feeling it. And then after about a little bit, then you go, okay, all right, I keep going. But today's an easy day, so I got to hold back, which I still don't always do. But well, good, man. I'm glad it's coming. I'm glad you're, excited about it.
Well, let's get to you.
It's
going to
be worth it. I honestly have been having some really good, knock on wood, weeks of training. And this past week was just a stellar week for me. I felt great. Just shy of 50 miles this week, which was more than I had anticipated. No, I mean, it's just been a really, really going well for me. I've been trying to mess around with some speed work. Again, not going by any plan, but trying to stick by my own plan as far as my easy hard efforts and my long run, how I set that up. But I've been messing with some speed work as well. On like my Tuesdays, my hard days, I tried to do a tempo run. I did a couple tempo runs in, some progressive runs, which I like better than the tempo run because I can kind of gauge more of progressing my speed.
You kind of ease into it.
yeah. You know, saving a little bit and adding a little more. And then by the end, really kind of getting the jets going. But I like the tempo run. I was glad I got one of those in. I've been messing around with some hill work. Now here it's flat. I mean, but I'm lucky enough that I do have a treadmill. So I put down show notes. I've been doing like some artificial hill work. I don't think it's really going to help me come trail season as far as the descents, but hopefully speed wise and maybe, you know, if I keep it up trail season time comes at least on the up, you know, the ascents. So I've been doing a little bit of that, trying to switch it up between speed work and then some of that work. Increasing my mileage. Every other week, I try to increase my long run mileage. 14 one week, back off to maybe 10 the next, then up to 16, back off to 12. Then I did my 18-miler, not this past week, but last weekend. So just trying to do that. I honestly want to keep going every week. I want to do more, but I'm trying to, as I said before, I want to train smarter this year. I want to see the payoffs. I want to see the gains. And I can honestly say, since coming back on the 4th, I'm noticing some difference. I'm noticing some work paying off. The heart rate staying a little bit lower than what it used to be, because I've been watching that with the chest strap, and just how I've been feeling when I run. So it's nice when you can kind of sense the payoffs happening.
Yeah, it makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes, and we've talked about it before, you know, makes that work, you know, you see the payoff from it, that it's not just pointless work. So I'm hoping that come marathon time, it really all just adds up. And hopefully, like I said, knock on wood, I can stay healthy. That's the main thing for me is, I've dealt with a few issues the past year. So hopefully things can kind of stay back and I can keep the training going. But I just been really, really enjoying it. And one thing, I've always said how I hate the treadmill. I appreciated the fact that I have the treadmill, but I can honestly say, and I was hesitant to even talk about it because I figure I'll catch some shit from you guys, but I actually enjoyed it this week. I would have rather been on the outside. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't have that dread I was having when I first came back in January where if the weather was crappy, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not going to run this morning. I'm not running on a treadmill. I'm not getting up at 4:30 to run on a treadmill. Now I'm like, oh, I'm going to get up and run on the treadmill. It doesn't bother me at all. Matter of fact, I ran a half marathon on it Saturday. I had a race scheduled that got canceled or postponed to this weekend because of weather. But so I said, well, I got to get my long run in, and it's -2 degrees out. So I've grown to appreciate it and not dread it or hate it the way that I've talked about hating it. So
it's a useful tool, you know, it has its purpose.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I'm kind of realizing. And before, I don't know if it was because I didn't like it so much or I just had to get into the groove of it, but it used to feel as if it was harder to run on it. I felt like it kind of hurt a little bit, like my knees would kind of bother me at times, but I think I've kind of worked those kinks out because I've been getting on there and I have the TV there, so I kind of forget that I'm even running in a sense. It feels okay.
Right. Well, no, I always liked them because one, it makes you mentally tougher. You know, you have to figure out how to keep yourself entertained,
right,
in your head, which is great when you get in those marathons and longer. And two, if you want to learn, I don't know if this is the right way to phrase it, but learn to run a new pace, the treadmill is great because you can set it at that pace and it's consistent. Right. So you get to know what it feels like. So you don't have to depend on that watch so much.
Yeah.
You know, you can go, okay, I know I'm running an 8-minute mile pace roughly.
You know. And that's helped me a lot on my easy effort days because it was harder for me to kind of, because I always want, I get out and I just kind of want to go. I always want to get out and do a progressive run. It's just how I like running. And so it's gotten so that on those easy days, those easy effort days, I can keep it pretty much set at an 840, 845 pace, somewhere around there. And I know it's going to be consistent. I'm getting a good workout. And it's that active recovery. You know, I'm not just going, well, it's easy effort day. I'm going to go fast, but only for 3 miles as opposed to 6 or 7. You know what I mean? So I'm really glad that I have it and can appreciate it now. And like you said, I think you're right. Our friend Bill has said it's a very useful tool, and I've really realized that. So I'm glad I have it. So learning to enjoy what I had once hated. And the other thing, what I need to do, guys, I got to get back into my core workouts. I have to. It put me in a bad place last year after the marathon. I never did core, and that's why I learned. I had to go to physical therapy. I was banged up, but once I got diagnosed with this hernia thing, you know, it was an abdominal hernia. So I was like, okay, I'm not doing any kind of strenuous core work. I mean, I got a hernia, and then even after surgery, when I was cleared, I still was kind of nervous, and now I've noticed that on my longer long runs, the glutes are starting to burn, you know, which to me is just showing a sign of weakness in that area in the core again. Any work that I did back late summer, early fall has diminished. It's gone. I need to get back there. So, Jay, I know you were doing a lot of core at 1.2. Are you still doing that, or have you kind of let it go by the wayside as well?
Well, up until the 7th, I let it go to the wayside. But now, with my off days being weight training, I'm incorporating core in what I'm doing with weights, and then I still have a core workout that I have yet to implement. I'm just trying to ease my way into all this stuff and see how it fits. So my goal is to do some. I'm not there yet, you know.
Right.
But I definitely agree with you that, you know, we as runners need it. You definitely need that. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing of it is, you know, running can be, for the most part, it's enjoyable. That's why we do it. You know, we get some health benefits from it, and, you know, you get to, I know for me when I'm outside, not on the treadmill, but outside, I get to free my mind of stuff. But it can be tough at times, but for me, doing core workout just sucks, and it's boring.
You know what? It does suck. It definitely sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, nothing fun about it.
But it's only 20, 30 minutes, and the payoff is freaking huge, man. And I think there's so many runners just neglect it. And I know two of the three here on the show have been neglecting it. Steven, I know just from your videos and stuff, you've stuck with it, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, probably the past week, I haven't done as much as I want to. And it's a thing I'm trying to figure it out is my morning runs are getting to the point they're taking up all my time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, normally I could get up and have 20, 30 minutes to do my core work, even though I know you should do it after your run, but yeah. but now that with my runs getting longer and longer, I'm not going to get up at 3 a.m. So I've been trying to do my core work in the evening. You know, that way I can just get up in the morning and run. And I'll admit, there's been a couple of days I haven't gotten to it. I'm just so beat at the end of the day. I'm like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah. Well,
I'll work it out.
Yeah, and if you're doing it, sometimes better than not doing it at all, right? So.
Yeah.
And I totally understand. I mean, I'm not even trying to do that in the morning, but just, I mean, I get up at 4:25, and I mean, and I have all my stuff out the night before. I have a duffel bag that's my running bag. It's got everything. Mm-hmm. Everything is so accessible to me, but it's like, get up, go to the bathroom, feed the dog, let the dog go to the bathroom, get dressed, and next thing I know, it's already 10 to 5, and I'm like, crap, I need to, you know, I'm going to do a 6-mile run. I have to be home, you know, by 6 o'clock at the latest. I need to get out the door. You know, I need to get going. So then to incorporate that, I mean, and I'll even admit too, another bad thing is there's been a couple times where, you know, my post run stretches, you know, I bend over and untie my shoes. And
yeah. That's good.
Exactly. You know, maybe hold it for a second and then it's like, I got to get ready for work. But like you said, I mean, what am I? I can't get up at 4:30. I got to get some rest. So,
yeah.
And honestly, that's where the treadmill kind of comes in handy for me as well, because I don't have to put as much gear on as far as clothing and lights. I can jump on the treadmill and if I'm like, you know what, it's getting a little late, I just turn it off and that's it. I'm home. Where there's been a few times where, you know, I'm still 3.5 miles out from my house and I'm like, shit, man, I better kick it up because I got to get home. I got to get ready for work. So,
yeah.
But anyways, guys, we're running a little long. You know, this was, but it was good. I just wanted to see how things were going as far as our training goes. I mean, none of us have had a race. I was supposed to have a race Saturday, but like Jason said, the temperatures were like -25 with the wind chill. So I said, forget it. I'm not running this race. And then I found out that it had actually gotten postponed because of the severe weather, which I was glad because I wanted to run it. But honestly, I was a little bummed out that I was going to take a did not start, you know, and it kind of bummed me out. It was only $15. But what I did learn is I'm not signing up for races in January, February anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'll wait till mid-March to do our first 5K. So, so I have a race this weekend, a 10 miler.
All right.
Never raced a 10 miler before. So I'm kind of like my game plan is to kind of go maybe like half marathon pace for the first 7 miles and the last three, just trying to kick it up to, you know, 10K pace or so, and just really try to just go all out and save it for the end. Not worry about anybody else. You know, I really want to, we've talked about it. I try to do that, but you get sucked in and,
so what are you really going to do?
Yeah. So what I really end up doing, I guess
he's going to run the whole thing at 5K pace.
That will not happen. When I run 5K pace at a 5K, I always want to throw in the towel. So, do you guys have any races coming up or just?
I have actually changed my fall racing schedule. I had all kinds of local races I was going to do, Dogwood Canyon 1550 Challenge and Bass Pro Marathon. And I am scrapping all of those to do one race this fall. I can't register till the first of the month, but I'm going to do the Moab Trail Marathon out in Moab, Utah this year.
That sounds cool.
That does sound awesome.
I was looking at it on YouTube, and I'm like, you know, my oldest boy's going to be off to college. My youngest one's actually going to be off with friends that week. I'm like, I'm just going to do it. I don't care if I just have to go pitch a tent. It's a 17-hour drive. The race is actually, it's not cheap, but it's not what you, it's $80.
Right.
Right.
That's, you know, which, and then, you know,
actually, that's course pretty cheap for what it is, but
yeah. Then of course your travel accommodations and all that. So, yeah, March 1st, I will be registering for that race. So I have the 50 mile and then the Moab, and it's the only thing I have on my schedule for the year. There's a 15K I usually do that I'll probably still do, but that's the only thing I'm worried about this year.
That's cool, man. That's a good focus.
Very nice.
I'm trying myself to be a little more focused on bigger races and maybe cut out some 5Ks this year. They just kick the crap out of me, man.
Yeah, they do. They do. Everybody. I think that's universal.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, now after a year, after doing two marathons and listening to other podcasts and interviews, and you hear these marathoners being like, yeah, I don't do 5Ks. And, you know, at first you think, well, what a freaking snob, you know, like, oh, you did a marathon. No, it's because, yeah, it's a lot shorter, but if you run that thing to run it and try to place, like, it just kicks the crap out of you, man. Just kicks the crap out of you. Like, I'm already nervous for the mustache run 5K that we do every year that's next month. I'm like, already.
I mean, I was just thinking, you know, non-runners will look at distance and runners be like, man, you guys are nuts. The half marathons, bored runners, when they hear another runner enjoys a 5K, we're like, are you nuts?
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy the 5K after it's done and you stand around and get to chat.
Eating donuts.
Well,
because an hour later, you're fine, you know.
Yeah, it's just, I'm telling you, man, every time I run a 5K race, I think, all right.
You want to just hurl. And
everyone knows I've been having issues with my feet. I could just tell them I rolled my ankle and just, I don't want to run it, you know.
Looking for your out.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's that mental part of running that comes into play where you got to fight that battle. You know, even with distance, you know, Jason, you'll find out the longer you go, it's like your mind will quit way sooner than your body. You know, your body's just so much more capable of so much more than what your mind will start telling you. And that's when the games start.
That's what I've heard, man. That's scaring me.
It's, you know, it's scary and it sucks when it happens, but man, it's like after you get through it, it's an awesome feeling. It really is, man. I'm really looking forward to your journey through this marathon, dude. I really am.
Me too.
So, and Jay, you obviously have no races other than probably the mustache run if we do that, right?
That is correct. I am, usually though, we start the year off with the mustache run. So I'm okay with that. And I'm going to keep my schedule open to just, have the training consume it at this point.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's going to kind of wrap it up. That's about all we got. The only other thing I want to mention, you know, we always say, you know, all three of us are on Strava. We do have the Average Runner podcast, Strava Club, is it called, Steven? Is it a club?
Yeah, I think they call them clubs. Yeah.
But you can follow us and just look us up. There's links to our Stravas and the show notes and on the website. The club is kind of cool. I mean, we haven't done any kind of like challenges or anything. I'm thinking maybe this summer we'll do something, but it is kind of cool to watch the rankings because it'll tell you how many people are in there and where you're ranking, and it changes constantly. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely a big push for me this week because I would get first place and then I'd get knocked down. You know, Stephen would put in a run and this and that. And the Zidane brothers, Glenn and Bill, we were pushing each other towards the end of the week, you know, to get runs in and kind of leapfrogging each other. And in the end, we were hoping to be, you know, top dogs 1, 2, and 3. And in the end, none of us were 1, 2, or 3. Steven was 2, right? You were second place, I believe.
Second on mileage, yeah. And yeah. When I hit, I think I was first in climbing.
Oh, that doesn't count. We're doing mileage.
That counts for everything.
You live in the damn Ozarks. You better be doing climbing.
Yeah, but it's the Colorado people. It's
yeah, what about the Buffalo people?
You know. I figured New York would be hilly and everything because I'd see your guys' run and always be zero elevation gain. I'm like, are their watches just not picking up elevation? What's going on? You know, that they live in New York. There's got to be hills.
Oh, there is. If you drive an hour and a half south or... an hour or so east,
I mean, the only thing I'd like to say about the Strava groups, they're fun, we push each other, but make sure you're not comparing yourself to somebody that is, I'm not going to say a better runner, but maybe more experienced doing something more. I mean, there's guys in some other Strava groups I belong to, I mean, they do, you know, 28 miles every day at 15,000 feet of elevation.
Yeah.
That would kill me if I tried to do it right now, you know?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's all for fun. I mean, yeah, Strava is Strava's a great running app. It's very social. Yeah. You know, interact with people and you know, give them kudos on their runs. And it's just kind of fun to look at.
But I mean,
at
you know, it's like with, you know, I mean, you and I, and it seems like the Zondon, is that how you say it?
Zidane brothers, Bill and Glenn.
Zidane brothers. It seems like us four, we're close. You know, and as far as our running experience and pacing and stuff, they're probably actually a little faster than everybody. But, you know, so yeah, it's fun. We can all kind of push each other because we're in that little group. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and, ability. So.
Yeah, and I will, and I got to say that I think their week recycles at 6 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday because I actually was going to double up on a run last night. I needed to get 3.3 miles, would have put me at 50 miles for the week and would have given me third place locked in. I was just getting ready to do some stretches and I go, all right, let me just check and see where I'm at. And it was like, everyone's at zero. And I'm like, wait, whoa.
Oh, it reset.
What's going on here? And we got bumped out of there. But anyways, it's all for fun. So go on the Strava, check it out, check the group out, follow us. We'll follow back and it'll be good fun. But other than that, if you guys want to send us an email or anything, you can send it to theaveragerunnerpodcast@gmail.com. You can call, leave a voicemail. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, that is 716-246-4786. Check out the YouTube channel. I have a link to that, or you can go to the website. There's a link for it. It's just Steven, really. It's not even our YouTube channel. It's Steven's YouTube channel for The Average Runner right now, doing his weekly documentations of his training program as he gets ready for his first 50-mile race.
Which he needs to catch up on.
Well, dude, you're busy, man. You're busy, but you get him up there and... And I actually just got a camera a few weeks ago, so I've been taking some video. Hopefully, I'll put something together at some point. But and iTunes, if you like the show, if you could give us a review and rating, help us move up so other people can find us, we'd appreciate that. But gentlemen, that's it. Thanks for doing another show. Hope training goes... well for you guys as well as the listeners, and that's going to wrap it up. So until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you.